disgraced woman is a community of young women who prioritize God's leading in every aspect of their lives. In this podcast, we share our stories, the good and not so great part of it, as we learn to trust God wholly, obey Him fully, and be God's vessels of honor in our generation. Every episode is filled with real-life lessons and experiences that would leave you longing for a deeper and more intimate walk with God. I'm your host, Grace Oriagan, and welcome to the Graced Woman Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Graced Woman Podcast. How have you guys been? Thank you very much for all your comments, all your feedback in this season. We've been talking about grace to do, and this is our third episode. Today's topic, like as you can see in the caption, we are talking about something very, very important. And if you know me, you know that I'm not the right person to be having this conversation because I'm on the other side of the table. So I'm here with a guest that will be helping us to take a very deep dive on this topic. Like, she has experience on both sides of the table and she's going to be sharing a lot, and I cannot wait for you guys to learn. So today we're talking about the rise of entrepreneurship. I know that that's not a word that most people are familiar with. We know entrepreneurship, we know business owner, we know CEO, we know CEO, but we don't really hear entrepreneurship. But today we're going to be talking about it. So let us welcome our beautiful guest, Chinéyé Adeleye. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the Grace Woman Couch.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
This is like the first time in a long time having any serious conversation.
I haven't been very serious though.
We have. We've been trying. So how are you?
I'm well. I'm good.
All right. So we're talking about something very interesting today. Mm-hmm. But first, introduce yourself. So you're going to tell us your name, what you do, all those amazing, nice things in your CV.
Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks so much, Grace, for bringing me on this show.
You're welcome.
My name is Chinéyé Adeleye. You may be wondering, Chinéyé Adeleye, don't worry. I married a Yoruba man. Yeah, they carried me away.
Nigeria.
Hey, God, single people, sorry. I have to bring the relationship thing here again. All right. So my name is Chinéyé Adeleye. I'm a project manager. I also run a volunteers organization called Volunteers of Africa. Mm-hmm. What else? I also run a side business. It's not a side business. It was, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes, I also run an interior design business. What else? I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful, fine boy. Mm-hmm. Yes, what else? I'm married and I'm happy.
She's a relationship coach.
Hey! Something like that. God, I beg. Okay, yeah.
All right, so today we're having a conversation on entrepreneurship. Like I said in the introduction, it's not a word that we hear often. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we're in a time where people are running from their 9 to 5, mm-hmm, to go and start their own business.
Exactly.
But you have come, like when you introduced yourself, you said you also have a business.
Yeah, true.
But even before this business you're doing now, mm-hmm, and what you're currently doing in project management.
Yes.
You have been a business owner for a while.
Wow, yes.
Before you now became like a 9 to 5, working in an organization and all of that. Mm-hmm. So can you take us down memory lane? How has that been? How has that journey and transition been? Because for some people, they are transitioning from 9 to 5 to their own business.
Yeah.
But you somehow transitioned from running your businesses, yes, to now 9 to 5. How has that been?
Okay, so I would say that it's been a journey, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And let me start, since you asked from the memory lane.
Yeah.
Let me start from when I was in NC. So I realized I like money.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that if you want to
make money, like I know she likes money. Yes.
And the truth is, when you like money, I always tell people, think about what value can you create,
yeah,
to get money. Instead of you thinking of who to bill, instead of give me urgent 2K. Think of what you can do to make the money, right? So yeah. When I was in NC, College of Education, I started selling things, sold pure water, I sold La Casera, I sold a lot of things, granuts.
Wow.
There was a lot because I just felt that those little money would go a long way.
Yeah.
Helping me in my own little, you know, in school now, you need to buy this, you need to buy handouts, you need to buy this, you need to buy that. And that's how business started for me. And after I was done with that, I started making shoes, Ankara shoes. People that know me way back. Remember Ankara coin?
Yeah.
I used Ankara to make shoes. Bags,
purses,
hair accessories, earrings, and all of that. That's how it started for me. And I made some good sales. I remember then, it was not really easy because, you know, when you say shoemaking, most times they tell me to be like a man's job.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really like a woman's job. And I remember then I wounded my hands a lot. Hammer would hit me.
At some point,
I'm like, Omo, I don't know if I can continue with this, but I gained admission into the university. You know, so I continued the business.
Yeah.
And it kept on bringing me money. So, but at some point, schoolwork became very demanding. I know if you're a student in Nigeria, I know it's not very easy. And I was studying guidance and counseling. I was also doing chemistry with it. It was so much for me. I had to just pause
the on business. The business,
you know. But then I started realizing another part of me. I love to volunteer. I love to give back. I love to train people. I love to build people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let's just start a team of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how we started Volunteers of Africa while I was in school. And it started. I was able to bring young people together to volunteer. And for me, it felt like that. Is it tipping point to the colleague now where I want, because I wanted to build a career in youth empowerment and you know, social development, you know, so I felt that it would help me to be not just building for me, building for others.
Yeah,
you know, so I would say that the entrepreneurship journey, it was a decision based on the fact that I wanted to be more. I got to a point where I just felt like I have so much energy, I have so much ideas, I have so much knowledge and ideas to give, but I felt like I was just confined in a space, and I felt that if I go into like a well-structured environment, a well-structured organization, I can be able to work with other people, I can learn, I can also train other people to be better, you know, so that's how it started for me. And to be honest, it's been a very beautiful journey because I've been able to infuse the knowledge and the experience I've had volunteering, having my business, I've been able to bring it into the corporate organization, and then going there, I've been able to learn on how to manage businesses and how to work with people, collaboration, team building, leadership, all these skills I've been able to garner, you know, while working in the corporate world.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's been a beautiful journey, and I'm not one that is very I'm very dynamic. I'm not one that's very static. I'm saying this is how to be.
Forever.
You understand? I go with the flow. Wherever I feel that this is the new instinct, I will go. Someone even called me and said, "Chinne, come." And it feels like for every time you feel like you do something, you just do it. You're not bothered that you're disappointing people or you're breaking people's hearts. Like when I mean breaking people's hearts, I mean
people are expecting
that all of a sudden you are going again.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, see, guy, it's my life.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'll give account for it. If I can do everything, why? Who says I must be boxed in a place, you know? So I would say that's been a journey for me.
Wow. It's beautiful that you shared that. And one thing that I took from it is the things that you said you learned.
Yes.
So, as you all know, I'm an entrepreneur. So this is like the battle of the... battle between entrepreneurship and
entrepreneurship. There's no battle.
Fun fact, today we're recording this on 12th of January.
Yeah.
And today marks 8 years of being an entrepreneur.
Hmm.
See, you people are actually
not amazing in this Nigeria. Trust me.
You people need to pop champagne for me.
Yeah. And squeeze some $1,000 per person. Just take.
And
your palms.
My husband normally say that one disadvantage he sees of me starting my business early is that I was not in a corporate
space
organization that had things standardized to learn because that's a very key factor, learning.
Learning
in a standardized organization. When you're running your business, most times it's just you start off, it's just you. You don't have the systems, you don't have the structure in place. You are learning on the job. Like, you're learning from mistakes, basically. But working in a structured environment, there are chances for you to learn. But I don't think that people see it that way.
Well, I would, like you said now, I will not say it's a cast in stone, because that's where the role of training comes in. At the end of the day, I know there are some business people that never had to work in a corporate organization. They started their business, they went for trainings, they did a lot of trainings on how to manage people and how to manage their business and how to structure their business.
And they are doing really well.
So it again, it depends on people. Some people, as much as they are trained, they still need to be in a space where all those things are happening for them to be able to take it in. You understand? So it may be that way for some people. It can also be a way whereby they just train you. Okay, if you know you want your business to grow, this is how it is. These are you train your people. These are you work with people. These are how you push them to get that desired result. And trust me, you may not need to be in that space. And that's thriving.
Yeah.
So you are here 8 years.
I know.
Come on now. Please give it up for Shani.
I know. Thank you. When was the first time you heard the word entrepreneurship?
Okay, so I can't remember the first time, but I know that there's been a word that exists called entrepreneurship. And I've always known that, you know, when you say entrepreneur, and I feel like outside,
in,
feels like inside. Yeah. So I'm not really sat down and say, okay, what does this word mean? Till you sent me the topic, and I'm like, okay, fine. This feels like it. Okay, this feels like this is what I've been doing. I'm not just termed it a word.
Yes,
you understand?
Yes.
So it feels like I'm a business person in somebody's organization, somebody's business.
Yes.
So when I saw it, when I was researching, I even told my husband, I should please let me do some research, because he did some research and sent to me, you know, another win for the married people.
We are sorry. Single people. I promise.
You are
it's not intentional.
Oh, well.
I promise.
For me, it's intentional.
Wow.
That was a joke. But I was trying to say that this is what I've been doing. I've never had to term it. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize that, wow, I'm actually doing something big. Some people, you know, there's this buzz where, you know, entrepreneur at some point, it was like, if you're not an entrepreneur,
you're wasting
your life.
Yeah.
How can you be giving your time to someone that will pay you, that buying you, that paying? But truth be told, people are making millions and billions from being corporate people.
Yeah.
You understand? So I think it's just good for you to find what works for you at the end of the day. But coming back to the entrepreneurship word, it was when I researched, I was like, wow, this is what I've been doing all this while. And actually, I'm very significant in this person's business. I should give myself more credit.
Yeah.
I'm not just here to collect your money and go.
Yes.
I'm actually adding value to your business.
Yes.
You know, so it made me have some kind of shoulder pad. I'm like, ah, thank you for bringing this topic. I love it. You know, I think a lot of people need to understand that. Come on now, you're not just here.
You're not just a staff.
No.
Do you understand?
You're actually a business owner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As much as the owner owns it, you're so because trust me, if your role is taken out, the business will suffer.
Yes.
So you have a significant role.
Yes. I think I came about the word. I've been hearing it, but even more, let's say in the past 2 to 3 years. And there are some, I think one person, I don't know, her name on Instagram is Bad Boss or something like that. She has worked in Pepsi. She has worked in Meta.
Wow.
She has worked in top organizations as an entrepreneur. Like, she tells that this is who I am. She has owned it.
Good.
I am there in the business to help to build the business. I'm in the business, I'm not the founder, but I take on my role as if I am the owner of the business.
Wow.
I deliver on my duties as far as I'm the owner, and the results speak for itself. Like, she gets promoted. She's a big woman right now in top companies all across the world. And when I heard her story about 2 to 3 years ago, I was like, wow, more people need to see this story and understand that it is not just about being the CEO, it's not just about being the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there are going to be more entrepreneurs than entrepreneurs ever.
Ever, yeah.
There can only be one founder, maybe a co-founder, maybe three co-founders, right? When you look at the big companies like Meta, Coca-Cola, P&G, who are the people that are running the show? It's not the founder.
Yeah.
Most of them, founders are even
late.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Or even retired.
True.
The people running the show are the entrepreneurs, the ones that have decided that I might not be the owner, but this is my career path,
yes.
And I'm I'm going to be here to make a difference. You're not just making a difference because you want a less salary. You're making a difference because you're building yourself, you're building capacity, you're building your CV, you're building your resume such that in the future another company can see the work that you have done here and it can give you a higher role in another company. So that's why I wanted us to have this conversation, because I feel like this is a new year. People, if you look at people's vision board now, they will say they want to be a CEO. They say they want to leave their 9-to-5. They will say, my goal for this year is to not, I want to be my own boss.
Yeah. I don't even blame them, because it's not even easy. It's not easy. That 9-to-5 is not easy too.
So when you say it's not easy, what do you mean?
So
is being your own boss easy?
It's not easy, to be honest.
I think
that there's this fox.
Very false.
Like in our mind that
very false that way.
When you have your business, you can sleep when you want. You can wake up when you want. You can wake up when you want. You can.
That is the biggest scam. The biggest scam of the century. Because people say 9-to-5 is not easy. I'm like, 9-to-5, as hard as it can be, depending on what your role is. Whether you work or you don't work, at the end of the month you will get your salary.
Get a paycheck.
Yes or no? The owner of the business, whether no money comes into that business or not, at the end of the month,
cannot be telling you stories.
No, at the end of the month,
it must bring
you
money out.
Pay every single person, whether you are taking a loan, you pay every single person their salary, and start again the next month.
True.
You pay all the expenses and start again the next month. So when people say it's easy, how? And I've had conversation with some young people that have said, no, I want to start my own business, and then they start, and after 2 months
they pack away,
they stop. It's actually not easy. Let's be realistic.
Yeah. Only none of the sites are just
easy.
pick your hard.
Yes,
your
none of the sites are easy. And I think that one thing I want us to get at the end of this conversation is to understand that, first of all, let us take away that stigma from 9-to-5. 9-to-5 is an evil thing.
Yeah.
9-to-5, you are wasting your time.
Yeah. They are buying you.
Like, there are different things that people say about people that are on their career path, 9-to-5 or whatever. First of all, I want us to take that away. Like, if you are on a 9-to-5, and again, it also affects people's mindset.
It does.
Right?
It does.
How they deliver on their job. Anyways, let's continue the conversation.
We'll get there.
Yeah. So do you consider yourself a full-time entrepreneur now?
Okay.
Or do you have plans on going back to run your own business?
So right now, I would consider myself as a full-time entrepreneur, right? And I still run my business on the side, to be honest, because, you know, when it's Yoruba people say onoko onwoja, that means it's not one way that used to get to the market. There are many ways to come to this place today. There are many routes. I chose to go through one, right? And tomorrow I can start to go through another. You understand? But I would consider I'm more on the side of the entrepreneur's side than on the entrepreneur's side.
Okay.
And you know, I would say right now that's what's giving me fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. So,
yeah.
So I would say that I'm more of an entrepreneur.
Okay, so you're more of entrepreneur than entrepreneur. So most young people, something that we were talking about just now, most young people in the workspace, in organizations and careers, they see their 9-to-5 as a means to an end. Let me just be here, gather salary, save up, go and start my business, or japa, or like they're just there because of the salary. Like, I just want to get, or so I'm just there for work experience. Let me just get work experience so I can add it to. My husband was telling me that in his company, people will just come work for 2 months and leave. They just want to add it to their work experience.
Wow, 2 months.
To their CV.
If I'm an HR and I see that you work for just 2 months, I'm going to question you.
2 months, 3 months.
They're out.
And they're out. Like, they'll just keep hopping from. And you know that when you hop from one job to another, you have a higher chance of increasing your pay.
Hey, but there's a way to go about it. 2 months is really small.
Especially in tech.
Well,
people are doing it.
People are doing it, actually.
People are doing it.
Because, and the funny thing is that every day, opportunities open. For example, now, you're working somewhere that they're paying 100,000.
Yeah.
And somebody else just calls you from LinkedIn or from the blues that, this job, 500k.
You
with some perks, they will pay you 13, 14, 15 months at the end of the year. What do you expect the person to do?
Yeah.
Usually, if you are being realistic, you understand? The person wants to leave that. See, fuel has increased.
Yeah.
Things are getting expensive. Dollar is on the rise. Yeah. I'm gonna leave to go to a better place. You understand? So that's how it is. And you know, I'll talk about something else later, but then sometimes when you get to a particular place and you look at their culture, you're like, nah, this is not where I'm supposed to be.
That's another part.
Away from money, because sometimes money don't matter to some people. They just want peace. They just want a place that works. They just want a place where their talents can be seen. Their talents can be recognized. They are sure that they're adding value. You know? Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah. So I was saying that most young people see it as a means to an end.
Yeah.
And I feel like it affects how they deliver because they are looking for the next exit. Yeah. So what do you have to say about that?
Okay, so I would say that when people behave like that, most times it's about their mindset. You know, and sometimes I don't blame them, because at the end of the day, normally when you go to school, your parents say, okay, be fast, go to school, come out, get a job, and send money to your parents. So everybody's mind is, I just need to make money to send money to my parents or to live.
Yeah.
I just want to live my life and move on. But the truth is that for someone like me, I cannot work where I don't see my vision, my personal vision aligning with the company's goals and the company's vision. It cannot work for me. If I get to a place, if ever I even apply to any job, it's because I've seen that, okay, something I love, something I do aligns with this company. That's how it works for me. You understand? So I cannot even be in a place where I'm just looking at the money. In fact, I remember when I started a job where I resumed last year, I forgot about the space salary, because I was just there enjoying what I was doing. It was so beautiful for me. It was an educational technology space, you know, and I was enjoying it. I studied education in school, you know, and technology is like a buzzword. And I got in there and I saw real life. We're providing laptops to schools. We're training teachers on how to train and teach children with technology. It was beautiful for me. I always looked forward to going to work. I was excited, you know, so that was it for me. So I'll speak to young people. I'll advise them that, see, when you're working, something called experience, and no one can take experience away from you. When you're working in a space, ensure that space, and people will tell me, when I'm saying this, people say, oh, Chine, you're not even talking about the money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, see, money would come. But there's a void in a human being's life. That void is called self-fulfillment. And you know this Abraham Maslow's the first one is the food is not food, it's not shelter. I can't remember. No.
What
is I think it's more of existence. You live in. Next one is like shelter. The next one is love and belonging. The next one is self-esteem. This one is self-actualization. Everybody wants to get to that point where they are self-actualized, right? You know, so that void in that human being, every human being, we want it to be filled. And money sometimes cannot fill. Some people say, oh, don't get going away. Money can fill. Trust me, some people have money and they are committed suicide every day. How are they getting to that point? It means that they've gotten to a point in their life where they are not fulfilled.
They're not fulfilled.
You understand? So I will always tell every young person, you know, I wrote something here. Let me read it out so that I'm more concise. Concise rather. I wrote something. I said, see, sorry. I can't find it. Okay. So my advice to young professionals is to approach their roles with a sense of purpose. Even with the corporate setting, there are opportunities to contribute meaningfully from, learn and grow. Viewing a job as an opportunity to gain experience, develop skills, and make a positive impact can lead to increased engagement and satisfaction.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, what do you want? You want to be satisfied in life.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So I will always advise any young person, don't just get a job because everybody's getting a job.
Yeah.
Make sure that job aligns with your goals, with your personal vision, so that when you're achieving it, you know that, yeah, I'm not, some people feel like I'm just working, making this man a billionaire.
Yeah.
What am I even getting for myself?
Yeah.
When you're able to align, when you're able to get to a point where you've aligned your vision to that company's vision, you will not feel like you're doing the company a favor.
Yeah.
You know that you're actually doing a favor. I'm going to give instances when we get to that point where I've worked doing like I founded a business. But some people ask me, Chine, sorry, is this your thing? I'm like, no, it's not mine. I'm working for a company. They're like, wow, the way you carry it on your head. I'm like, yeah, because I know that as much as it's for the owner has the name.
Yeah.
I'm getting the experience. The owner cannot come and claim my experience.
Your experience.
My experience is my experience.
Yeah.
You know.
And what you said about alignment or vision.
Yeah.
In Achai Brands, when we hire new people.
True.
One of the main questions that we ask is, what is your personal vision?
Good.
When we do appraisal, whether it's quarterly, annually, this year, when we're entering into the year and we had conversation with the staff, what is your goal and vision for this year?
Good.
And do you think that working here would help you align with your goal and vision? And I'm talking from the business owner part, because you don't want to hire people and you are fighting. You are fighting with them. You don't want to hire people and you are trying to force them to align with your brand's vision. You are trying to force them to, like, they are struggling to do their work. I'd rather have two staff that are aligned with my brand's vision than have 20 people that I'm dragging.
True. And the exponential increase will be evident.
Yes. As your business grows and you have to hire more people, it can become more difficult. But when you put in that system and structure in place, that for everyone that comes into this business, there has to be alignment. And I know that when people want to get a job, they can lie and say different things, and that's why there's probation period. Like, you can lie during the interview, you can lie the first month, second month, we'll catch you. And there are so many people that we have had to let go after 3 months, because as much as they said all the sweet stuff during the interview, you are actually not aligning with our values. You're not aligning with our vision, so you can't work here. So, like what she said is spot on. Coming from the professional part, as a career professional, you have to be aligned. You'll be wasting your time. Imagine that you're going to work 4 or 5 times a week, and you're working in a place that is not aligned with your vision just because you want salary. I know that there can be financial needs that make people to just any job, just give me any job. But if you are being intentional about your growth, about your development, then that's one thing that it's not about the job description. It's about alignment. Am I aligned with this company's goal and vision? At the end of the year, as I'm helping this company actualize their goal and vision, am I also actualizing my personal goal and vision? Like, it's very, very important. So now to the integrity of the matter.
True.
So I see entrepreneurs as intrapreneurs.
Yeah.
I see them as prayer warriors. So if you're a Christian church, you know that prayer warriors are not the ones that are on the pulpit.
True.
They're the ones, they're not, you know, choir. You see choir now. Choir, they are singing. Then the prayer warriors, they are behind the scene, praying, moving things behind the scene. And I somehow see entrepreneurs like that, even though there are some entrepreneurs that are also at the forefront of the business. But entrepreneurs most times are not like at the forefront. They're not the ones that you see on a magazine front. They're not the ones that you will see getting the awards. And it can sometimes feel like they are left behind. Oh, we are doing all the work and it's God that is taking the glory. But is it possible, as an entrepreneur, from your own experience, I know that it's possible. I just want to hear from your experience, because I know of a lot of people. For example, one that I currently have a close I have some sort of relationship with, the P&G and the current MD of P&G Africa. Is it Africa or West Africa or Nigeria? And when I was reading about, when she was sharing with me about her journey in P&G, she came into P&G, I think she studied chemistry or something. She came into P&G as like something related to chemistry, like a very low role. And that's how she continued to grow and grow and grow in like her career ranks. And now she's the MD of P&G. I don't know who the founder of P&G
is,
but we all know the MD of P&G. And she's not the owner of the business. And sometimes I wonder, how do these people, she's been in P&G for over 15 years, over 20 years. How do these people stay that long? For them to stay that long, it means that they are finding purpose.
Yeah.
It means that they are finding fulfillment.
And then the environment is...
Yes, so the environment part. Because there's something that she mentioned in one interview. She said that one of the reasons why she was able, because people are asking, she was the first female MD of P&G. And people were like, how did you get to that position? Point. And she said P&G does not better look whether you're a man or woman. They will train everybody. It's who takes up the training, who shows that they have the skill. If you have the skill, willing and ready. If you have the skill, we'll give you the opportunity. So I know that it's possible to find fulfillment. But the reason I'm asking this question is because of this narrative about, oh, if you're not working for yourself, you're wasting your time, you're not going to be able to build, whether it's financial capacity or whatever it is. So from your own experience as an entrepreneur, how have you been able to find purpose behind the scene? How have you been able to be able, like, you wake up every day and you are excited about going to your work, to your office?
Okay, so let me start by saying that, you know, I said earlier that for me, the work where I was working before, because I left, in the way I was working, when I started it was beautiful for me. I loved it. I loved the fact that I could see a feasible, like, it was very visible, rather, not feasible, visible change. You know, I saw a teacher that could not, you know, use the system, laptop, or doesn't even know what computers are, you know, start using it to teach, train them on how to use projectors and all of that. So that gave me, because for me, I'm a value-oriented person. I love to see value. I love to give value. I love to get value. I love to see people transit from not knowing to knowing, you know. It makes me happy. So for me, it was very exciting for me. So I was able to align my goal and my vision for making people better, for making people grow, for learning and development. I was able to tie into what they were doing. So it was very easy for me to align with them immediately, right? So that gave me the joy. And I'll give an example now of where I knew that I came in as an entrepreneur and I, like, went all out. I did a program last year around July, August. You know, they've always had this program in the company, and it was a program where children were trained on tech skills. They've always had it. Last year was the fifth edition. Right, so I came in and I saw the way it was being run, and I'm like, this is a program that has potential to grow more than this. Mind you, I was just like 6 or 7 months in the company. I was not up to 1 year, you know. So I looked at it, I asked questions from my fellow staff, what has it been. And they've been like, the program has been like this. Every time they had to run the program, staff will be coerced to pay because nobody wants to pay for it. They don't do it. I don't think they did a lot of publicity for it. So I don't know if the staff will have to pay, then bring people to come to take the training. So it was not, it never became a big thing. And I'm like, think about it. It's a summer program. One, two, it's a program to train the next generation of tech bros and techies. It's a huge stuff. We could get sponsorship. We could get people to sign in for it. All we need to do is, what they call it now, move and get everybody to believe in this vision. And you know, I believe strongly in something. Everything falls and rises for leadership.
Yeah.
That is my belief, and that is how it has always. John Maxwell gave this quote, and it is true, because once people see that somebody is ready to take up leadership for something, everybody will run with the mission. You understand? So I'm still going to talk about how leadership can still play in the rise of entrepreneurship, because if you're going to see entrepreneurs, leadership has to take its position and push people to rise. Because I've seen a lot of young people that come into companies, I'm going to come back to my story, you know, come into companies with the zeal, with the fire, and then they get there and they're like, the culture just weighs them down, and and you're wondering what happened to your fire. But then the environment is not encouraging, there's no innovation, and people are seeing what you're doing and they're like, are you the only one? You just came, so you're just up and down trying to do. Are you the only one with passion? Calm down, people are already hating on you, people are already going to tell the CEO stuff that you didn't even do. Why? Because they want to find a way to get you out so that they can continue with their mediocrity. That's how it works most time in the corporate, and some people call it office politics. But me, I don't see it as office politics. I see it as, I'm trying to use a word, but I don't want to sound somehow here. I see it as people just bringing down the company. Because how can you see somebody doing so much amazing stuff, and because you cannot do what the person is doing, you are there trying to bring down the person? It's funny for me. Well, back to my story. I was able to convince some other colleagues of mine that, see, we can do this thing. What we need to do is sell this idea to people that believe in truth, people that believe in technology, people that believe that people can actually do this kind of thing. And it's interesting, it's summer period. Children are poor. Normally children go to
school
to do the normal English and maths that they do, you know, in class. So why do the same thing? Because I was telling my husband, I see, if my child gets to that age, I will even take him to mechanic. I'm like, yes! I'll take him to tailor. Everywhere. let him learn these skills, because these skills cannot be bought.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go and learn it. You understand? So at every point, it is important that these children learn other skills. So back to my story. We did it. So I stepped pulling everyone. People were shocked. Even the HR was like, wow, we got this kind of sponsorship. Wow. My colleagues were all, I was pushing them. I'm like, one of my friends said, she wants to get sponsored for a particular person. She doesn't want to disturb the person's affair. I'm like, you say what? Give me the person's number. I'll call. She was like, oh, okay, don't worry. I'll call. She called. Guess what? We got food from one of the, one big brand that they sent us food for 2 days. For it was 50 children each, right? And when we calculated how much that food costed, it was over $1 million.
Chai.
It was 1 point something million, right? We got sponsorship from HP. HP gave us 6 brand new laptops.
Wow.
Yeah. They went through one of their I think Lance Train is one of their, what do you call it? Their distributions. Yeah, so they went through one of their, we got sponsorship from Microsoft. We got sponsorship from it was big brands. And I was, all these things happened within just a month. You know, so when the company saw it, they were shocked. They're like, who is this girl? How did you go about this? In my mind, I just wanted to add value. That's just me. Just someone that is just interested in learning and development, building people. That's it for me. So I found a place to express my gifts.
Yeah.
To express my skills, to express my own vision for humanity. And that was it. So kidding, very easy for me. Because of that, I had the energy. If it's something I didn't like, I would have been laid back.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, please. How have people been doing it?
Let's
do it like that. I can't kill myself. You know, but I didn't just do it for me. I also pushed my colleagues. And they went all out. I was able to distribute to different groups. When it was time, we had to renovate one of our spaces to host the program. We recorded 50 students. The highest they've ever got, I don't think they've ever had up to 15 students come for that program. We had up to 50. It was beautiful. The feedback till date, parents still call me to thank. In fact, a parent actually sent me a gift that, Chine, thank you for this program. My child, they learned UI UX. The younger children learned robotics. I'm just giving you this example to show that once the environment is right, sometimes the environment may not be right. If it's someone that is very dogged like me, I'm very dogged, I don't care whatever is happening. So far, I want to get things done, I'm going to get things done. It doesn't work like that for people.
Yeah.
So I'm going to speak to CEOs, business owners,
yeah.
that once you create the right atmosphere, people will stay with you. Because there's something they call, I think my younger star is HR. And she was talking about something they call, is it great resignation? I don't know if that's the word.
People from
COVID period, people have been resigning. And to be honest, if I'm in a place where I know that I'm being paid my salary as I went due, I have great work-life balance. What else?
Yeah, aligns with my vision.
It aligns with my vision. Nobody's trying to make life difficult for me.
Mm.
You know, some places they'll make life difficult for you.
Yeah.
They'll report you to whoever. they'll frustrate your life that you'll be like, who am I?
They will lie.
Why am I here? You know, and you'll be wondering, when staff have to fight for things, like, oh, my pension, I've not gotten it. You have to start calling, oh, my leave allowance. Oh, I can't. Why? When all I should be doing is focusing on my work and everything is aligning for me. You understand? So it is very important that, I know that some employees, I will speak to employees too, because trust me, some employees are lazy. They don't want to go all out for the business. They are paying you salary and you're just there receiving AC, not doing your work. You're not. It's not fair. So you need to, as I said earlier, no one can take your experience from you. This experience I'm just explaining, I've given it to a lot of interviews I've done. It has landed me jobs. I'm not saying job. It has landed me jobs. Because that program lasted for just a month. But the impact in my life.
Yes.
The opportunities that opened me to. The kind of people I relate with now in the business level. Because, do you know the funny thing? Most of the sponsorship I got them via LinkedIn. I didn't know them from Adam. I just went to people's name and said, hi, my name is Chine, I work with Susan So, and this is what we're doing. I want to have you guys on board. What do you think? Some of them will tell me, oh, sorry, our vision does not align with you. So I'm like, what do you mean that your vision does not align? We are doing programs to impact young children. Are you joking? You have to come and sew it to us. And before you know, they're like, oh, fine, we'll come in. The sponsorship we got, I'm sure that it was to a tune of, at least 5 million naira, from the laptop to the food to the drinks and all of the things we got. So some things that are intangible, because we got a free trainer from Microsoft through Tech for Them. They came, they trained the children, you understand? So for me, it was big fulfillment for me. Throughout that week, I was like, wow, who am I to create this kind of, who am I, you know? For anywhere I would stand and say, I managed that project with my colleagues.
Yeah.
Anybody, that last year's own, you cannot take it from me.
Yeah.
You understand? I did it with my colleagues. They were so helpful. All of us came together to do it, but I ensure that I championed it to ensure that we got the kind of results we got. So you may be in the tech space, you may be a teacher. Do your work. You know, the Bible says, what's the word? It's Proverbs 22, verse 29. This thing is, I shall know that you will stand before kings. It's not time for me, men.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the eyes find to do.
See that a man diligent in his business.
How can I forget this?
He shall stand before kings.
Shall not stand before me. And I'm sure that the Message Bible will even put it in a better way.
Yes.
You understand? So just do your work. You don't have to, if you know that you don't have the grace to start a business, you don't have to struggle through it. Some people have started it for you. Just go there.
Say that again, please. For people at the back. Again.
Oh God, yeah. So if you don't have the grace to start a business, some people have started it for you, just go there and just be there and just enjoy. You can be a team member, you can be a project manager, you can be their executive assistant. I've heard of people that started as an executive assistant and they became CEOs. I've seen people that started as interns and they became CEOs. Like, how? So you don't need to rack your brain thinking, what was the business model? People have done it for you.
Wallahi. See, the thing that she just said now,
I think we can wrap up.
I think we can close it. We can wrap it up now.
Business model, business,
you people,
strategy.
You have no idea. Shebi, this is a new year now.
See,
CEOs are racking their brain.
See,
on growth metrics.
Yes.
Rubbish numbers.
I see when people write all those things, and I'm like, God, please, I don't think I want to do this. It's a lot.
See, if all these CEOs are shouting on Instagram, the ones that are actually growing, though, because there are some people that have that plaque and their business are not growing.
Yeah.
Those that their business are actually experiencing growth. I say something that if you see CEOs that are busy, most of them are quiet on Instagram.
True.
Because the work,
they'll just hand it over to the social media manager. Please handle.
The work that you have to do is a lot. Anyways, so from your experience, what would you say, or what are some mindset characteristics, mindset change? Because I know that some people have to unlearn, relearn. So what are some characteristics and mindset changes you had to have personally, or that you would encourage young professionals to have for them to become better entrepreneurs in their organization?
All right, so I'll start by saying humility. You need to be very humble to learn wherever you're coming from. The way they do it over there, it may not be the same thing. It may not be the same way it's going to be done wherever you are. So you have to be humble to learn. And the funny thing is, new things are coming up every day. So you need to be open. So when someone is trying to teach you something, be very open-minded.
Yeah.
Be teachable. I think that's the word. Teachable. Learn when you're supposed to learn. Next one is adaptability. You need to learn how to adapt.
Mm.
Like agile. You know, there's something called the agile mindset. Where you're not just focused on one thing. This habit has always been. You need to be very flexible.
Yeah.
When something is changing, go with the flow. Don't say, this habit has been, this habit has always been. Nah. If you know that you really want to become an entrepreneur, you need to be very, very adaptable and agile.
Mm.
You know, next one is perseverance. Things will not always go the way you... It's not ice cream.
Yeah.
It won't go
the
way... It's not jollof rice. You know? It won't always go the way you feel that it will go. But you have to persevere till you get a result. I think I also linked that to resilience.
Mm.
When I was giving my explanation, I didn't talk about the fact that a lot of times people turned down my requests.
Mm.
Telling me that, no, they cannot do this, they cannot do that. A lot of times, we wanted to get another laptop from another brand. You know, and I kept on pursuing. At some point, the person stopped picking my call.
Mm.
I picked my colleague's phone to call the person. Well, my colleague was like, "Chine, you're lady smart." I'm like, "No, until he gives me what he wants, I will not let him rest." So you have to get to that point where you're very resilient. That until you get what you want, there are some times that you stop pursuing. Yeah, you get to that point where you be like, "Okay, this one is not for me."
Mm-hmm.
But at least know that you have tried your best. You've pushed to an extent whereby you know you've done. Then team building, team, you being a team, team spirit.
Yeah.
Knowing that you need to know how to collaborate, work with people. See, sometimes it's not about you. Yes, you want to become an entrepreneur, yes. But at the end, they know that you're working with a company that has a particular goal. The goal is not your goal. Mm-hmm. Yes, your goal may align with it, but the overall company's goal supersedes your own personal recognition. I've worked in a place where someone was saying, when they were celebrating other people, they didn't celebrate me. So why will I be part of people that they'll them? Because something went wrong, you know, and they were chastising people that were part of it. And those people were praised earlier. And so they added this other person to be part of people that were chastised. And it was like, I was not part of the glory. Why will I be part of people that will collect the crucifixion? And I was like, wow. So you're just in here to just receive glory. Come on. It's not just when you get to that place where you'll be recognized, your star cannot hide. Yeah. If you're a shining light, you will shine over and over again until the perfect day. That's what the Bible says. Mm. So you understand? So you cannot be in a place where you're just all about you. If it doesn't fit you, then it cannot work. Mm. You need to be able to listen to people, learn from people, work with people, collaborate with people. Sometimes you have to keep quiet and let other people talk and shine. Sometimes you have to speak, because as much as you keep quiet, I always advise people to also speak up. Because even if I saw one quote recently, I don't know if I'm able to bring it out of my phone, but what the person was basically saying is, a lot of people that don't know what they are doing, but they are very loud, they get promoted. But people that know what they are doing, but they're always quiet, nobody recognizes them. Mm. Why? Because they are keeping quiet. Mm. But so it's wisdom is profitable to direct. Know when to speak, know when to be quiet. But speak when you have to. When you know you've done something, come out and talk about it. I did this, I did that with the help of my colleagues. I was able to do this and this and this and this. Sometimes some leaders are very wonderful. Let me use that word. They would delegate to their team, saying that this is what you guys should do. And when the thing comes, they will take the glory. They don't know how to. That's not how I do. When glory comes, I share it to all my team members. And it comes down to leadership.
Yeah.
Because you'll not be a team member forever. You'll get to a point where you have to lead. And if at all you are bestowed upon a leadership position and you know that you cannot handle, tell them that you don't want to manage people. It's better than for you to now put people in a position where you're stifling their growth because you don't know how to manage them. So it's okay to be the general manager, but you put somebody else in charge of people to manage people while you do your thing. But it will not be nice of you as a leader now. As soon as you get there, people's growth has stopped. People are not able to do as much as they used to do because you're not occupying a position to inspire them and push them to do great things, you know. So as a team member, as a leader, it is very important that you know how to work with people, you know how to manage people, you know how to build people.
Yeah.
Trust me, I always tell people the greatest currency you can build is people. People will always be greater than money.
Yeah.
Because you know that you were in a particular position, the company was not making up to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You got there and all of a sudden everybody wants to work, everybody's interested. I want to work, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. It's not because you have some magic, it's just because your leadership skills have come to fore, that's come to play, and everybody wants to say, oh, because of this person, you know, I've been able to do so and so. Since I left the place where I was working, I've been getting calls because I had to manage about 100 and something people, about around 150, you know. And I loved it. For me, it's another thing that aligns with my vision. Managing people, I love it. I don't know how I didn't get into human relations, but sometimes I think about that what they call it, that career, and I just shake my head because I see a lot of people in human relations, and I'm like, you're not called to do this. It's a strategic position where people actually take on people and mold them and make them better. But I've seen people just take advantage of the position. And sometimes I'm like, God, thanks, I didn't go into that space, because I'm like, That career line, I don't even talk about it. It's a very strategic space for people to impact people's lives. But not everybody's called to do it. And some people just take advantage just of it and just make people's life miserable and all of that. It's something that we need to talk about, because at the end of the day, the atmosphere, like I said earlier, when people have the right space to thrive, you as a business owner, you'll be sleeping. Your people will be running. You'll be walking and eating whatever. They'll be running and say, "Sir, drop this food. We need to go." They'll be telling you, "Sir, see this thing. We need to push this business idea. This is the only business that can move." You see your staff. You'll be wondering, "Come, let me start business."
How much salary am I paying?
Which one? I say, "I'm not going." They'll say, "Sir, you must go." You know, by the time you get to that point, by the time you get to that point in your business, just know that you have won.
Yeah.
You've won. For people to be able to be so passionate about your business. And more than you, you know that you have done some things right, yeah, and you have won. So, but as a business, you need to take that pain of creating that atmosphere.
Yeah.
Listen to you. When your staff are complaining to you that a particular person is bullying them, maybe their team lead is not allowing them to go, listen to them. Listen to the, like, call two of them and ask them what exactly the problem is. Let them speak to you. When they are complaining about a particular stuff, when it's not when they are already at the door saying I'm resigning, that's when you now wake up and say,
what do you want?
Should we increase your salary? Do you want to work from home? No. Resignation has not started that. That's not when resignation started. It has started 3-4 months ago, yeah, when you were not listening.
Yeah.
You know, so entrepreneur, I like you said, you can only have one co-founder.
Yeah.
You can only have one founder. Yeah. You can highest 3 people or 4 people that started a company. And you know how many people we are in the world? So at the end of the day, we're going to have more entrepreneurs,
yeah,
than entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, I would still say that it is still about the environment.
Yeah.
It's still about the willingness of people. And that's why I'm here to change your mindset. If you're,
yeah,
an employee, just give your best. At the end of the day, see, you're thinking that you're doing this for your boss. You're not doing it for your boss. When you're writing your CV, will your boss man fight you and say, don't put down your CV, I'm the owner of the company? No, if you've managed it, I will put that program I ran, I put it in my CV very boldly. I don't know if I put project director or project manager. I managed the project from end to end. I got sponsorship, so and so. I did it. And my CEO may not even know what I did. I did it, you know. So my experience is my experience. Somebody, yeah, can take it away from me. I've learned, and to be honest, apart from the experience, I learned.
You learned.
Oh, I learned. I learned to be extra resilient. I'm a resilient person. I can push, but I learned to be extra resilient. I learned to actually work with people.
Yeah.
I learned to actually be. It was when the program was done, it was very emotional, especially when the children were receiving their laptops.
Hmm.
I think I shed a tear. You know, when some of the children were crying, oh, I have a laptop. Oh, I've been looking for how to get a laptop. Mm-hmm. I've not had a laptop throughout my life, and now I'm good. What other fulfillment do you want in this world? Hmm. Like, what else will give you that kind of joy? You,
yeah,
know. So I'll say that it's very important that we review the skills.
Yeah.
The skills. Without the skills, you cannot try. And,
yeah,
if you're the person that you're always looking for how to push other people under the bus so that you can rise. You, yeah, will not last.
Yeah.
Why? Because the time they're using to be the time they're using to report people, throwing people under the bus, you never used to learn relevant skills.
And things will even come and meet you in front.
Yes.
Like what you sow, you reap.
And you'll get to that ladder, you'll get to that height. But how can you manage people there? Because,
yeah,
all you've always known is to be an antagonist,
yeah,
putting people in trouble.
Yeah.
You can't even do too much. Why? Because the skills that you're supposed to have built, collaboration skills and all that. But let me tell you, the truth remains that once you're able to give well to your employees, to your team members, the ROI is most times very unquantifiable. You cannot quantify it because you get their loyalty, you get their trust. They will not leave you. You're talking about a woman that I've been working for 15 years.
Ha. Even more.
And I'm like, what were they doing?
What were they doing to her?
To keep her. For 15 years. You know what that is? If in this generation, if someone works with you for 5 years, you should take the person abroad to spend on the person. Because 5 years, the person stayed with you.
You as a business owner, you're doing something.
They do something right for them to be loyal. Like, I know a lot of people that as they're in that company, they're sent their CV to 50 places, 100 places, because they're looking for greener pastures. But,
yeah,
if they can see that you're always watering that grass,
yeah,
and the grass is always green, they're not looking for any other greener pasture. They're fine. They're okay.
Yeah.
You're promoting them as at when do. Some companies don't even have promotion policy.
Mm.
You are just there. Who you are, you always be.
But let's talk about entrepreneurs, but like I said, entrepreneurs, they are straight bullets, left, right, and center. Everybody carry
yourself.
Take it to your office.
I'll go and do meeting. Yes. But I'll also say that employees, we need to also do better. Let's ensure that. It's not easy to start a business. I can tell you for a fact. Like I was talking business model, business strategy. you are correct. You know when they say submit, there's another word, I can't remember it. Submit your something something.
Business
you submit,
model
you will submit it, you do design, you will talk for people to invest in your business. It's not easy at all. So the least we can do is to support these people and do it with all our minds. Just do it, because you don't even know who is watching. You don't know how God can elevate you from where you are. And the little skills you have, you can actually take it to wherever you want to be. They cannot tie you down. Yes, you are their staff, or you have worked with them, but the fact that you leave them and you have impacted in their space, they can never forget you. Even if they have, the fact that you're leaving them, they are sad, they are angry. Deep down in their hearts, they know that this person has done good work, and that's all that matters. And sometimes you don't even need to take the talks of the CEOs and all. Ask your team, people that you have led, what can they say about you? See, if one or two persons can say some good things about you, you're good. Because these are the people that you have directly managed. Their lives have changed. That's all the feedback you need sometimes. Yeah. You're good to go. Sometimes I want to feel good, I'll just go back and read the feedback and say, okay, what did they say? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing bad.
I did a good job. So as we wrap up this episode, I feel like there is not so much training for entrepreneurs. Mm. As much as there is for business owners, you know, there's so much business training. Yeah. And I think that maybe it's because people don't really see, like the topic of today's episode says, there's a current rise of entrepreneurs. There's a current rise of people who are taking up space in different organizations. And most times, those people, they are actually just maybe training themselves, learning on the job.
I absolutely didn't say about that training thing.
Yeah.
So I remember the way I was working before. I'm someone that take courses. I take courses back to back. In fact, I'm praying for a particular certification course that's cost me a lot. I mean, I can't even mention here. You know, so I'm someone that believes so much in training, because if you train your staff, it's what you put in that you get out. If you don't train your staff, you are leaving them to be using old knowledge to work with you in this 21st century. You know, so but me personally, I'm someone that will not wait for anybody to train me. I remember that day I went to meet the HR that I would love to take this training. In when you do appraisal, they'll tell you, speak with your line manager, you push your agree on what's, and the person told me, the HR told me, you have not worked here for a year, so we cannot train you. And I was like, wow, really? But I've not worked here for a year, but I've given value for up to almost a year right now. How do you expect me to even give you good value when I'm not being trained well? I will not say that people are not being trained. Some companies take training very seriously. In fact, they have someone in charge of learning and development. In companies now, I have friends that are in learning and development space where their goal is to ensure that trainees meet their learning goals. In fact, if trainees don't meet their learning goals, they will be in trouble. It's part of their appraisals. Do you understand? That a trainee must be trained 5 times or 6 times in a year. They will pay for it and all of that. So I went to meet this, like I have not been, I had to go and meet the CEO, and I had to beg and beg and beg and cajole to get the money out for my training. So this shows that some people don't value training. They don't see it as something that, because if you want a business to grow, you have people. But how can you pack a load of people together? They don't know anything. They're just working, going with the flow. You need to train them so that they can be able to give what they have inside, is what they will churn out. It's your business, so
yeah.
It's not their business. Your business. So if they are trained, someone will say, I don't want to train them, so that if they leave,
them,
they will leave. But at least they're still with you for the meantime. They're still with you. Train them. And you know, you'll see the difference.
There are several sides of this coin.
Yeah.
Because there are people like entrepreneurs that will say, I don't want to train them because I feel like they will leave. But I don't even see that as a...
So you are still shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Saying that, I think I don't want to eat so that I will not poop.
I think it's Miss Tara that told me this thing. House of Tara.
Okay.
She said that as an entrepreneur, like I said before, most entrepreneurs, like most training are geared towards entrepreneurs. So they will train the entrepreneur, there are several trainings for entrepreneurs, but there are not so much trainings for entrepreneurs. And she was telling me that you as an entrepreneur, you have so much knowledge that you can share with your staff. Even if training might depend on your budget and the level of your business, the stage of your business. Training might be expensive, but what do you know? Knowledge you have.
Yes.
You don't underestimate the knowledge you have as an entrepreneur. And as professionals as well, you also need to be intentional about taking courses, training yourself.
Yourself.
Like every year.
Can't give what you don't have.
Exactly. Every year, how many courses do I want to take this year?
Yeah.
What are the new things I want to learn this year? Those skills are for you. Yes, you might bring it to your to the table when you come to the office. You can bring it to help to solve one issue or another.
They're in your head forever.
But those skills are going to be yours forever. So in the end, you're doing yourself more good than bad.
Yes.
So the next question as we wrap up.
Okay.
Are you team right now? I think I already know your favorite. You've been the both side of the boss or both side of the coin. Which is your current favorite?
So I'll say that, okay.
Entrepreneurship. We'll write it here, entrepreneurship. Or entrepreneurship.
This or that.
This or that.
So I would say that, having experienced both sides, I would say that I've had a great time. But I'll still say that, for me, I've still geared towards entrepreneurship. Why?
In. Okay.
My reason is because entrepreneurship provides you this wide range of opportunities where for me now, I said I love to train people, I love leadership and all that. Entrepreneurship provides me the opportunity where I'm able to train people, manage people, lead people. And then, you know, when you have a structured environment where things are working and you're learning, knowing that okay, maybe even if I have to start my business one day, I know that this is how I'm going to work, these are things should be, this is how it should work, you know. And that at the end of the day, I've brought my knowledge from entrepreneurship into the business, you know, and I've also taken, like I said earlier, out of the business to also work on my own personal business and personal branding. So at the end of the day, I would say I'm geared more to entrepreneurship because of the opportunities it affords me. It feels like it's limitless. I can do a lot of things within the space, you know. So I'll also say I'm geared towards
I'm actually feeling a bit jealous. Like, why did I not go and work in KPMG?
See, and that's the thing. You're providing. You are raising entrepreneurs. So you're still the MVP.
Yes, like MVP. Like I tell my team members, we don't use the word entrepreneurship yet, but like you are in charge. Own your role. Own your whatever duty they give you. Own it as if
it's yours.
It's yours.
Yes.
Because whatever thing you're learning on that job, it's going to be inside your bag when you're going. It's not something that you drop behind.
Exactly. And I will not even say that I will not come back to entrepreneurship. See, it just depends on where my
depends
goals
on
are.
Our mood.
Yeah, depends on where my goals and vision align at a point.
And also depends on where the money is.
Very important.
All right, guys.
Very important.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. Yay. I hope you guys learned something.
Yeah, I hope you had fun because
we cannot wait. We can't wait to hear your comments. Yes. Can't wait to read your comments. If you have questions, drop them. Yeah. I would put all of Chinee's information where you can follow her on Instagram, LinkedIn. I think you're still on Facebook.
I'm still on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, social media.
Yeah.
If you have questions, you want to reach out to her.
Yeah. And if you feel that there's a place that a bullet was shot at you, please, it was not personal.
Yes.
Because everything was my personal experience. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry about it.
Yes.
Yes. Please. You know, we are graced women.
I died.
I'm graced women. Praise the Lord.
Graced women. Fire bazooka. Please, guys, let us go. Thank you for watching. Bye.